Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with us now is New York City's newest mayoral hopeful, perhaps hoping to fill the void left by Anthony Weiner. Throwing his hat into the ring just last week was Tom Allen, president of the Manhattan Media Group, which publishes various local newspapers like the West Sider, the New York Press, the West Side Spirit, Our Town, and the Chelsea Clinton News, which is about those neighborhoods, not about a presidential daughter. If you've seen the lifestyle magazines called New York Family or Avenue, or the political papers called City Hall and the Capitol, or the ones called Dan's Papers in the Hamptons, those are Tom Allen's too. His pet issue is education. He joins us now to talk about that and more as the newest mayoral candidate, including the poverty policy conversation we were just having. Hi, Tom. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
I'm not going to start with it, but did you hear that last conversation about Bloomberg poverty policies?
I couldn't hear much of it in the
Okay,
green
so we'll get to that
sure.
in a few minutes. But most people are saying, Tom, who, even if they've seen your newspapers and websites, so tell our listeners about yourself and why you decided to run for mayor.
I'm so glad to be Tom Who at this point because that means I have no negatives and there's no unfavorables and I'm a blank slate that hopefully will get drawn in over the next 2 years. I grew up in this city 49 years ago. My parents were Holocaust survivors who came to America like many immigrants in this day and age trying to start over their lives, which were shattered by the war. My parents moved to Washington Heights when they got here, and then eventually the Upper West Side, where I grew up in the 1960s and 70s. My parents, like many immigrants then and today, cared deeply about education and making sure their children got the education that they didn't get. I, in 1968, was in first grade at a public high school on the Upper West Side, PS 166, and there was a teacher strike, as we all who lived then remember. For 2 months, I couldn't go to class because of this teacher strike. And really, what happened then, it was the first time in my life that I when I look back at it now, that I realized that public education failed my parents. And that's become a very important issue to me over time. And now that I have three children, it's become an even more important issue.
Public education failed your parents just because of the teacher strike?
Well, think about it. You know, you've come to this country and you want your kid to grow up in a way that you weren't allowed to because of the Nazis. For 2 months, I was sitting at home, doing nothing. And my peers who went to private schools and other schools were learning.
But that was, I was a student in the public schools in New York City, too, during the teacher strike. We all got a nice extended vacation from our kid perspective. And then we went back to school. I mean, how significant was that in your life, really?
It was significant to the extent that my mother decided she had to make a change after a month. So she talked to one of our neighbors who sent their kids to the local yeshiva. My parents were Jewish. My mother decided, I want my son to get education. I'm going to have to at some point send him to Hebrew school, so I may as well combine it together. And I went to the local yeshiva on 104th Street, Manhattan Avenue for 5 years. My family moved to Europe shortly thereafter for a couple of years, and then I came back. I went to a private school on the Upper West Side called the McBurney School, famously known for kicking out J.D. Salinger after a year, and then eventually Stuyvesant High School, a public school. I was very fortunate that public education, and particularly Stuyvesant, changed my life. After I graduated from graduate school at Columbia, I went back to teach at my old high school at Stuyvesant.
Did McBurney kick out its most successful and accomplished student ever?
Who'd be referring to there?
J.D. Salinger?
It kicked out. J.D. Salinger was kicked out of McBurney. In fact, if you look at Catcher in the Rye, I think it's on page 7, he makes an oblique reference to McBurney. He says, we had a fencing meet against the McBurney school. He went to military school because he was kicked out of McBurney.
Well, that's what the private schools can do that
right.
The public schools can't do. Kick out students they deem undesirable,
right.
Even if they're immensely talented or, destined to be legends.
In my case, thank God, they didn't kick me out. I ended up walking with my feet and going to public school instead. I actually wanted to stay at McBurney because I was captain of the baseball and basketball team in eighth grade, but my parents wanted me to get a great education, and that's why they forced me to go to Stuyvesant.
Now, let's see. This may be unfair, but the last time we had someone with no political experience who thought she could run a major city agency because she succeeded in publishing was Kathy Black.
That's a very unfair analogy.
Does your experience translate any better?
Much better. Have I been a student in the schools in the city. I've raised three children where I've sent them to public schools. I've created two high schools in the city, two successful high schools. I won't take full credit for it, certainly, but I was involved with the committee that started Eleanor Roosevelt High School on the Upper East Side, which I think had more applications to it last year than any school in the city, and the new Frank McCourt High School on the Upper West Side. Frank McCourt was a colleague of mine when I taught high school at Stuyvesant in 1986 and 87. I did, those of you who remember the Welcome Back Cotter show, I did my own Welcome Back Cotter routine going back to the classroom where I had sat 5 years earlier.
So you started Frank McCourt and Eero?
I was involved, to give credit where credit's due, I was on the committee that started Elro in 2000. Eva Moskowitz was very instrumental in that. Congresswoman Carol Maloney, a number of other local leaders were involved with that. But I kept it on the front page of our newspaper on the East Side for many weeks until Harold Levy cried uncle.
The former New York City schools chancellor. Mm-hmm. Are you generally a fan, then, if education is your central issue, a fan of the mayor's approach and his reforms with Joel Klein?
I agree with the mayor and Joel Klein on a number of things, and I think they've made an ambitious beginning to put the public education system on the right track. But I'm also, I diverge pretty distinctly in a number of areas. There's curriculum reform that I've thought a lot about education, particularly over the past couple of years since I've had children. I think curriculum reform is an enormous undertaking that has to happen. What I think we've done nationally and locally is made education a grind. All the testing and all the accountability and the metrics we're putting in makes education boring for the teachers and boring for the students. What we need to do is shift that paradigm and make we want a generation of lifetime learners, and the only way to have people be lifetime learners is to make learning joyful.
So would you reduce the number of high stakes standardized tests?
Absolutely, and I would change the nature of the tests. I think testing, first of all, is important for a particular population that is underperforming. It's not fair to the kids that are doing well to be tested every year and to have the teachers teach the test, and that's really the problem.
But then you're going to get a race and class issue where the parents of the underperforming, which tend to be the poor kids of color, wait, you're making education a grind for my kids and interesting for the other kids, and you tell me that's what I need.
That's not the intention. The intention is that education should be joyful for everybody, for minority groups, for people who are higher achieving, perhaps the students. I'll give you a small example. My son, who's a junior and just finished his junior year in high school, went to a summer program this summer where it was an intensive writing program. And I went to pick him up the other day, and they put on a performance for the parents. Every single day at that camp, they spent a half an hour singing songs, everything from songs from the Muslim world to Broadway show tunes. A half an hour, those kids got into the auditorium and sang. If we started our school day every morning at 8:30 in every school in the city with half an hour of joyful singing among our students, and I know it sounds maybe Scandinavian or utopian or whatever you want to call it, that would set the tone for a day of joy and a day of learning. So that's on the curriculum side. On the policy side, we have to stop this polarization of schools. When you do things like co-locate charter schools and public schools in the same building, you create unnecessary polarization. I'm a big fan of charter schools, and I think the mayor and the chancellor should be commended for what they've done so far, as well as the whole charter community. Obviously, there's good charter schools and bad charter schools, just like there are good public schools and bad public schools. But you don't need to put them in the same building.
You're running as a Democrat, and my guest, if you're just joining us, is Tom Allen, publisher of The West Side Spirit, Our Town, New York Press, other papers, now saying he's running for mayor in 2013. You're running as a Democrat, so you'll be going up against all these better-known folks with established constituencies in the primary, like probably John Liu and Bill de Blasio and Scott Stringer and Christine Quinn and Bill Thompson, and who am I leaving out? But are you proposing anything that special that you'll jump out of that pack? One of the critiques of the pundits who's written about your bid is that you have no constituency.
I think I have a constituency. And listen, the reason why I announced 2 years out is because I have 2 years now to get opportunities to be on shows like yours and to talk to the voters in the city. I've been a very effective communicator through my business, and I've grown a very successful media business over the past 10 years while media has been challenged. Education reform and real education reform in a very significant way is something that I think will resonate with all voters. There's 1.1 million public school students in the city, which obviously means there's probably at least 1.5 million parents. Those people, and those, that's my constituency, and there's other people that are my constituency as well.
We're running out of time. I want to go down some other things real quick.
Sure.
First, before you came on, we were talking about Mayor Bloomberg's record on fighting poverty. The 20% poverty rate hasn't changed in 5 years while the city is adding millionaires and billionaires, but it's almost never a headline issue.
Yeah.
How do you think the mayor has done in that area? And briefly, do you have any anti-poverty policies that you're coming to this bid with?
Yeah, I do. I've walked the streets of the city, and I've seen, you know, the unemployment rate in the city and in the country is unacceptable. One of the issues besides education reform that I'm going to focus on is job creation and job training.
Everybody wants job creation.
Of course. And I have some specific ideas. Mayor Giuliani many years ago and Bill Bratton, who I'm a big fan of, started something called CompStat, which was a very effective metrics for figuring out where crime was happening in the city. We should start something called JobStat, which looks at the neighborhoods of the city and where the unemployment rates are highest. In those neighborhoods, we need to concentrate resources and put job training centers and job consulting centers so that people who are out of jobs in the city can get meaningful work. This ties in very much to the education reform ideas that I have.
On education, another thing that came up in the poverty discussion was the attrition of 7,000 teachers in recent years. Is that a no-no in your opinion?
It's a big problem. Listen, I was a teacher for 2 years in the public school system. I came to teaching actually accidentally because I was really intending to be a journalist, which is what I did for the first 10 years of my career after teaching. We have to put in better facilities in the city. We have to pay teachers better. We have to make teaching a profession that is more honored. You and I know each other because we did a ceremony last year. We honored the top teachers of the year through my business. Teaching is, in countries like China and Singapore and Finland, teachers are revered. In this society, we look down on teachers, and it's reflected in the way they're paid and the conditions they're put under. That has to change.
1 minute drill.
Sure.
Congestion pricing, yes or no?
I like the idea of it. I'd like to study it further. My views are evolving, but I did support it.
The bike lanes, good or bad?
Good in general. It's happened a little too quickly. There needs to be more public input.
Prospect Park West bike lane, yes or no?
I really would have to study that more. I'm a biker. I put on a bike show recently. I like bikes. I think they're going to make the city more green, but they have to be done with community input.
Would you strengthen the rent stabilization laws if you could get Albany to do it any more than the state just did?
I grew up in a rent control department, and that's the reason why my parents were able to stay in Manhattan. I'm in favor of it, but I'm also in favor of means testing. I do believe that people who get rent control or rent stabilization who make a lot of money don't deserve it.
And are you a public health guy like the mayor? Would you push for salt labeling and soda taxes and things like that?
Yes. Mark Bittman's article in the New York Times this weekend was brilliant. I don't know if you want to call it sin taxes or whatever it is, but tax things that are bad for people. But I take it a step further. I think the mayor's been great in public health. That's actually been one of his crowning achievements. But I think we also have to look at fitness. My mother, my 84-year-old mother, swims 3 days a week at the 63rd Street Y. We need to make health facilities more accessible to everybody in the city, but particularly seniors. If we're going to increase, Mayor Bloomberg has increased people's lifespan 19 months. That's, I think, his most impressive achievement. To take that a step further, we got to make sure that people can go and work out and swim and do all those types of things.
Publisher Tom Allen, that's A-L-L-O-N, now running for mayor of New York City for 2013 and trying to get known so he can compete against the bigger name candidates. How can people find your stuff?
Tom Allen 2013 is the campaign name. There'll be a website up by early next week. People should donate. I am starting from a position where I cannot self-finance. I will be in campaign finance. Two of my opponents likely opponents have $4 million and $2.5 million in the bank. I'm on a sprint now between now and January 15th to get $1 million in the bank. If people who have listened right now like what I have to say, send $50, send $100, send $175. If you're wealthy, send me $5,000, which is the cap, $49.50. But if I can get $1 million in the bank by January 15th, I will be a very strong candidate.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And coming up next, we will contrast the Bush and Obama reasons for raising the debt ceiling. Stay with us.